Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening and or good morning, wherever you may be across this great land of ours, from the Hawaiian and Tahitian Islands in the west. Not that naturally the Tahitian Islands are ours, but a lot of us go to visit them. Eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the Internet. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. Well, I don't know about you, but if I see one more Elon story, I'm going to throw chunks. I really am getting sick of this, and I don't know how it's going to... Now I understand it's going to be dragging on through March, and we're going to see Elon stories through March. Grandmas are going to keep coming up here like the March of the Grandmothers. Dad says he wants him back. Elon seems like now he wants to stay here. I mean, once you've been to Kmart, how are you going to go back to Havana, right? So maybe some judge of great wisdom should have Elon torn in half, sending half back to Cuba, something. But God, stop giving us stories about it. Just make a decision and do what you're going to do. That occupies the news, as does the President's State of the Union address. It took him an hour and a half to say it. I can say it pretty quick. It's good. There, see? That didn't take an hour and a half. It's good. You know, the economy's roaring along. I don't know about anything else, but the economy is in pretty good shape. People have jobs, that kind of thing. So that's where I'd leave it. Otherwise, the news is, well, let's see, the presidential race. You know, I hope you guys really get out there with those questions and get into the forums as we were discussing last night on the show. You can download them from my site. And then you can call Larry King, you can call any of the people who have the candidates on. As I mentioned last night, lie, you know, just lie. Tell them you want to ask a question about campaign finance reform. You know, you'll always get through on that one. And then when you get on the air, ask about secrecy in the U.S. government and what they know and what they don't know. And what would you do as president? You know, that kind of thing. Let's see what else is going on. McCain has stumbled a little bit in the polls, if you watch the polls, if you care. Bush is up a little bit. Gore is up a little bit. And that's exactly what I thought we'd end up with, a Bush-Gore race, which I will absolutely ignore. If it's a Bush-Gore race, I'm ignoring it. I'm telling you right now. I'm just plain ignoring it. I think there's very, very little difference in the way they would actually govern. More important, probably, Congress and the Senate, with regard to what will or won't make it through. Budapest, Hungary. Now, here's something for you to think about. We've all heard about sex change operations, right? Well, how about this for a twist? A married couple in Budapest are receiving hormone treatments now ahead of planned sex change surgery that will, in fact, switch their genders. The operation is set for August. Medical preparations were temporarily suspended in September as doctors wrangled over who would operate. So, in other words, we've got a married couple, a man and a woman, who have decided apparently they do like each other's company, but not each other's sex. So they're going to switch. I suppose they'd have to... Boy, it brings on some ugly thoughts. I mean, they'd have to reconsummate the relationship, wouldn't they? Maybe even get married again. Certainly won't be any children now. Anyway, that's really happening in Budapest. She will become him. He will become her. And maybe this is a good story to follow that. Art, I'm in Israel. You wanted to know when it snowed in Israel, this caller I had from Israel not long ago, guess what? It's snowing very hard out there right now. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to call in, so I'm sending you email. If you go to the webcam for the Western Wall in Jerusalem, you can see the snow piling up on the plaza in front of it and covering the dome of the rock like a cupcake with frosting on top. So it's snowing in Israel right now. Now, how does that relate to the story I just read you about? Well, I shouldn't have to explain that to the majority of you. Mississippi called up 300 National Guard troops as the state was assaulted by an incredibly strong winter storm that appears headed to Atlanta just in time to deliver ice, snow, and sleet to the southern site of the weekend Super Bowl. By the way, for those of you who get my webcam, you can see I have my Super Bowl t-shirt on tonight. I guess I had to take some predictions on Super Bowl. What do you think? Will St. Louis come back to its game this week? Now, if St. Louis comes back to its game this week, the high-scoring, knock-you-down, blow-you-down offense they've got on any given Sunday, then they're going to win. If they perform as they did last week, then Tennessee's going to be the new champions, number one. And I'm not sure who I'm for. But the movie title has it right. You know, on any given Sunday, anything can happen. Anything. Continuing with the rosy weather information, here's a email entitled, Forecasters Miss Another One Tonight. Art, have you seen the satellite pictures tonight? At 11 p.m. our time, TV News here in Connecticut reported another, quote, explosive storm, end quote, was presently intensifying off the middle Atlantic coast, yes. Weatherman went on to say that the storm developed today, Wednesday, earlier than expected, in a different place than predicted and to a much greater intensity than forecast. The latest conjecture has this big storm that just exploded today, missing Connecticut and southern New England, but is expected to hit down East Maine with ferocity tomorrow afternoon. Or this. Let's see, what is this? This is the end of January, right? Almost February. Hey, Art, today in Houston, we have a tornado warning. It's cold, windy, black skies, thundering. Kind of unusual to have a tornado warning in January. Last week it was so warm my angel trumpet tree was in full bloom, and we renamed the month January. We've given up trying to understand it all, and we're just keeping shorts under our jogging pants and jackets in the back of the truck so we can be prepared when it's 80 and the next day 35. Of course, 90% of Houston is down with this Aussie flu. That's Lee in Houston, so... That's almost all the news worth reporting at the moment. Next hour, we're going to have Major Ed Dames here, Dr. Doom, a hat that he's probably trying to shed at the moment. But that's Ed for you, and it's always an absolutely fascinating show. And Ed, if you're out there listening, I don't know how long it takes to do a little bit of work on something, but again, somebody faxed me a request that Ed Dames do a remote view of the resurrection, and I thought, oh, yes. Well, we've done remote viewing on the fact that Jesus was, in fact, a real being, a real person, who walked on the earth, and we've done that before, but never have we done the resurrection. Now, NDEs, near-death experiences aside, there is nobody other than one that has been dead for 3 days and has arisen. So that should stand out in the timeline like Mount Fuji. And it would be a really, really interesting thing to know about. We'll ask Ed about that when he gets on. There's one more thing I want to talk to you about in a minute. Dreams. I am really, really having some inexplicable, really bizarre dreams. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Let me take the time between now and the bottom of the hour to try and lay something out for you that is not going to be easy. I'm going to do it tonight. I decided I would do it tonight. Something has been going on with me for about the last 2 months. I've had a number of dream interpreters on the air. You know, I've had them on over the years. And they're all kind of fun. Dream interpreters are kind of fun. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I believe it. I probably put it in the same gray box as astrology and all the rest of that. But, you know, my dreams are probably like anybody else's dreams, and always have been, until about 2 months ago. And I began to have a series of dreams that I'm still having now that are so inexplicable. I mean, normally when we dream, there is some reference to our life, right? Maybe our boss, our work, our relationships, our physical surroundings. Our dreams in some way generally relate to our life in some way. Well, I've been having some pretty strange dreams, folks. These dreams have me as a completely different person in places that I've never been, with excruciatingly good detail. They've not necessarily been nightmares. I can identify, for example, the school that I went to, the hallways, in a place that I was in Mississippi for a short while in tech school in the Air Force, but I mean, otherwise, I've never been to Mississippi other than that one visit courtesy of the Air Force, and I didn't get to see much Mississippi then. And that's only one example. In dream after dream after dream, it's like I have been injected into somebody else's life completely. All of their acquaintances, all of their friends, all of the people they work for, I'm that person. Yeah, it's really hard to assign words to get you to understand how freaky what's going on is with me right now. But it's kind of like I'm simply dropped into somebody else's life. And the time periods vary. From today, you know, current time, to the 50s, which certainly I would remember at my age, to before I was born, way before I was born. And it's kind of like in these dreams, I am simply dropped into that person's body. I assume their identity. I can tell you details, specific details. And so, you know, I picked up the phone earlier today, and I called one of the dream interpreters that I've had on previously, and I laid this all out for her, and she listened to it all, and she went, "Wow, I don't know." So, you know, I'm going to try to find somebody who can explain this, but it is pretty weird. In all my life, now coming up on 55 years in June, you know, I've had the normal kind of good to bad dreams, but always they relate in some way to the life I'm living presently, never dumping me into the middle of somebody else's life. So I thought I'd toss that out. Maybe somebody out there can explain exactly what's happening, because I sure as hell can't. Open lines. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
It's good to be on the air with you.
Glad to have you.
Okay, this is Travis listening to you on the big one, WTAM Cleveland.
Oh, it is a big one, too.
Okay, hey, I need to make a Super Bowl prediction to all your fans out there.
All right.
If you have the money, buy the points and take Tennessee to win in overtime.
In overtime?
I know this is going to happen.
You think it's going to really be that close?
It's going to be a good game.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, so many times those Super Bowls are kind of disappointments, and your prediction is not this time, huh?
No, it is going to be wild. We're going to have fumbles. We're going to have interceptions. Look for like a 30-27. Real exciting stuff. So.
Oh, give me that kind of game any day. Lots of fumbles, lots of interceptions, lots of heart-stopping everything. But you think it's going to be so close to take the points, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and I was wanting to add one.
That's
other
what
thing.
You. That, listen, I'm in Nevada.
Okay.
Where are you again?
I'm calling from east of St. Louis, about 2 hours.
Oh, you're that close to St. Louis, and you're taking Tennessee?
Absolutely.
Huh.
People down south are.
You must
a lot
not care about your life at all. I mean, there are people who could recognize your voice saying something like that.
Well, that's okay. It's, you know, no one's here listening anyway because they're all supposed to be asleep.
Hey, man, when you hear the shouts outside your door and you see the flickering light of the lit torches,
yeah,
and you hear the chants, well, you'll know life is nearly over.
Yeah, just look for some surprises. That's awesome. Take care, Art. I gotta go.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Good luck to you.
Okay.
See you later. Even if they don't, sir, I love you. Anyway, take the points in Tennessee, huh, from near St. Louis. Or how to live a short life. I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000. Somewhere in Time. tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000.
Well, cheerio. Guess what, folks? We've got a new alien photograph. And it's a good one. It looks a little bit like the Jonathan Reed alien. But this comes from a completely separate source. It's not the Jonathan Reed alien, in my view, but it's a damn good alien photograph. And I'll tell you all we know about it right now. I received a fax shortly before airtime, as always. I always set teeth on this path just before airtime. It's not my fault. It's when people send them. I can't help it. And this photograph was submitted to Russell Dowden and Sonny Salas, I guess, S-A-L-A-S. And they've got a website. And I guess we're about to test that website's ability to take a lot of hits. What we know about the photograph is a 44-year-old woman gave it to them, saying that her close friend had taken this photograph on board a U.S. naval vessel. She told their webmaster that he had to get the picture out to someone before it caused a stir with other ranking officers. And the photograph is indeed causing a big stir. Now, I just read you what they sent me. I have no way of knowing if this was taken on board a U.S. naval vessel. I have no history of the photograph, other than it is clear, and it is startling. Now, you ask, how do you get to see this photograph? You go to my website, www.artbell.com. Go to the links section. Look for links on the left-hand side of the... I think it's the left-hand side. Well, let me look. Pretty sure it's on the left-hand side where Keith has links. And the first link tonight ought to be to this photograph. It's an awfully good photograph. Awfully good. Now, I know the pixel people will pick it apart like they always do everything. See, already, even the traffic to my site. Why do I do that? I should try to get into my own site before I set you all going like crazy to see it. And so now I'm not even getting into my own site. Great. Maybe I've dropped my connection. Let me see. No, I've not dropped my connection. So I've just hurt my own site as well. So this photograph is hot stuff. It's it ranks up there with the best alien photographs we've had. You go to the links site anyway, I'm pretty sure. I wish I could tell you better. But if you look on the left-hand side, you'll see links. Click on that. It would be the first link that goes over to www.setlab.org. And we have the link, so it'll take you, I think, right to the photograph. It's in the photo gallery. It's the first item, and it's a damn good picture. So, comments, please. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Don't forget, top of the hour, it's Major Ed Day. It looks like I crashed our server, so... Keith is in the process of getting our server back up, so I crashed my own web page. We were warning this fellow at SetLab that .org that he was going to have a lot of traffic, and we weren't sure his site could handle it, which is certainly still true. But apparently, our own server went. So Keith is working on that right now. What happens when millions of hits slam into the same place at the same time? I don't know, it's probably like trying to get 5 gallons of something through a straw to another 5 gallon container. It just doesn't work. With a little bit of mud and sticks in there, too. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to comment about your dreams.
Oh.
Because I've had dreams like that myself.
Have you really? With absolutely no reference to your current life whatsoever.
Well, I've had dreams that I was places that I'd never been before.
Right.
And I was more or less myself, or at least
I'm
supposed to be in the dream.
Yeah, but not me. I'm really someone else. Someone.
No, I mean that's the thing. I'm somebody else, and I'm thinking their thoughts and everything, but it doesn't feel any different. It's like almost like a past life.
Yeah. Well, either a past life or a parallel, who knows, but another life, completely unrelated to the one I'm living now without even a hint of it.
Well, I know I had one. I was up north, and I'm in Texas, and I've never been up north. And I was in a town that sounded like a town in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 months later, I met someone that lived 30 miles from a town named after a town in Texas, or at least the same name, in a state up north.
Well, this
and I didn't even know that there was a town by that name.
Listen, I've got so many details, names, places, names of the school that I went to, all of these different things. I am so tempted. I'm not going to name the town in Mississippi. This is just one example. But I'm so tempted to go to this town, it really exists, and begin to look up these people and see if there's something to it. That's how serious it is.
Well, I usually have dreams because of things, like parallel things. Like, I know my brother had an old trunk. I don't know how old it was, but I think it was at least from the turn of the century. I don't know where he got it. And the night that we had it, the first night, I had a dream of being back during the Civil War somewhere like Virginia or something, and I've never really been to Virginia. And being a widow of some guy in the war, and there were all these people and something that I knew was probably a park now, and they were in Union blue wandering around. It was really strange, and they were going to hang this guy that looked like General Lee or something, and it was really strange. It was
all
very
right,
vivid.
That's the kind of dream that I'm talking about. Now, that's really too much, and I think that it really does say something about our brain's ability to either we've got a little writer and director in our brains that occasionally spring forth and give us a complete surprise, or, you know, we're really doing some serious traveling here.
Well, it might be that it's kind of like picking up, I consider it like a radio signal, because that's what it feels like. Like you're picking up a signal, kind of like when you walk into a room and there's another room maybe that you don't know of, but you can hear the TV, the high-pitched whine it makes.
Yes.
But you don't necessarily know that there's a TV in the next room. I think it's something like that. You're picking up something. You're not necessarily sure what it is or where it is, but you know it's there, and you're experiencing it.
Right. Well, I've come to the conclusion that dealing in the topics that I've been dealing in, these kinds of topics for years, has begun to open my... You know, I don't know. Maybe we have something like an appendix in our brain, you know. My brain appendix is opening, and I'm beginning to have new abilities. And it's merely, I think, because I've been dealing with these topics. I think that alone causes you to begin to be a receptor for these kinds of things. That's the only conclusion I've been able to come up with so far. But this is pretty weird. Weird enough that I'm almost ready to go check it out. What, West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, talk about synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that I got through. My name is Greg. I'm calling from Riverside.
Yes, sir.
You know, I had a Gordon Michael Scallion show from February of 99 on tape, and
yes.
I finally got around to listening to it yesterday.
Right.
Okay, last night I had a dream. I had the same dream 4 times in a row. The exact same thing. It wasn't like a continuance. It was like the same thing repeating itself.
I wouldn't even go to a movie that many times.
I know. It was strange. You know, I'm 40. This has never happened to me before.
So what was it?
Okay. But after 4 times, I still can't recall the real exact details. Maybe if I was writing them down,
well,
I could. But
there's two ways to do it. One is to write it down. And the other is to do what I've been doing. I probably should have been writing it down, but instead I tell my wife right away all the details. And, you know, reciting that out loud causes me to remember it.
Well, I was going to put it on a tape deck. I think if that happens again, I'll do it like that.
Yeah.
But here's the gist of the dream. Basically, there are 2 of these weather-controlling stations in Arizona. There's two of them.
Arizona.
Yeah. There's two of them in
Arizona.
Well,
there's another question for McCain.
Okay, all right. Well, now one of the stations is controlled by an evil group. One is controlled by a good group.
Weather wars.
Yeah, and three, it's like the sense is that the good group is there keeping an eye on the evil group so that they don't get out of control.
Well, the way things have been going, they're out of control.
Well, okay, well, I don't know. I don't know what it means. This is the first time this has happened to me, and if this is the case, not only do we have to worry about, you know, outside countries with advanced technology, we've got to worry about internal groups.
So you got the bad guys over there going, low pressure, low pressure, lower pressure, and the good guys going, you know, high pressure, high pressure.
I don't know what it means. This is a first, and the fact that I got through without any problem, and I mean, you're talking about dreams. I mean,
then you were meant to get through then.
It's too synchronistic. It's very strange. And Ed Ames is coming on tonight. I don't know what's going to happen when I go to sleep tonight. Hopefully nothing.
Well, if Ed Ames comes on, you probably won't.
Yeah, well, if I have another four-timer of one of his subjects, I mean, that's going to be wild.
Yeah, you call me right away, all right?
Definitely.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, James calling from Worcester, Mass.
Hello, James.
How are you?
Fine.
Love that phrase, synchronistic. I also knew that I would get through this evening. Also been having interesting dreams.
We're all going south fast.
Yes. I have. I always catch at the bottom of the hour. I don't know if that's the case, but I have two quick things for you.
Yes.
After my little dream sequence.
Yes.
I had a dream the other day that I was watching someone's house or something, and there were all these, not entities or ghosts, but just, I guess, voices in my head or something telling me that I needed to be somewhere else and I was in the wrong place and all these things. And then as I go to this other house, I knock on the door and I answer the door. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, you're not supposed to be here yet.
Mm-hmm.
So what's all this? It's interesting.
You know, this is the stuff for dream interpreters, and I don't even know if they know what the hell they're talking about. So I couldn't begin to tell you what that means. However, I guess if in real life you see this place, I would avoid it like crazy.
Yeah, it was nothing I really recognized, but like an old Victorian type thing. It seemed in the modern time there was electricity and the TV on or whatever, but
it's probably where you're going to die.
I hope, yeah, well, could be.
So, as I said, you know, if you see the place, stay away from it.
I will do my best.
Maybe it's a warning. Thank you. There's just no way to know. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Keith in Kansas City. How are you?
Fine. You're going to have to yell at us. You're not very loud.
Okay. Is this better?
That's better.
That's good. I had a quick question for you on religion.
Okay.
If Adam and Eve were the first men and women on Earth.
Right.
And they had two boys.
They had two boys, yes.
Who did the two boys have children with?
Nobody knows the answer to that.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I just wondered if anybody could ever answer something like that.
Maybe they ripped more ribs from Adam.
Yeah, really. Who knows?
Maybe by the time it was all done, he was ribless.
Well, I just figure there must have been someone else on the planet besides just them two, but...
Well, that's not what it says.
Yeah, I know.
So I know. There's problems with it, but what can you do?
Really. Thanks a lot.
Yep, you're welcome. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. You know, I'm so glad that you brought up the dream thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for this. This is right up my alley.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think it was up anybody's alley. I mean, I've had dreams all my life, and they always, 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 you can always afterwards pick out the reason why you had the dream, something that happened in your life.
Yeah, usually you can. You know, right. It's some stupid thing that happened during the day or whatever was on your mind.
But I'm telling you, this is being dropped into somebody else's ongoing life. It's like, boom.
Yeah, I have had these my whole life, and I remember having these as a small child.
What do you think they are?
You know what? If I had the money, I would really do the hypnosis regression therapy.
Yep.
I really do. I just read a book about Taylor Caldwell, and she didn't believe in any of it, and she went through regression therapy, and they found all these wonderful, rich lives that she lived, and they helped explain how she got some of the details for her book.
Some of my lives weren't so rich. They were a bitch, actually. I'm serious. Some of them were very troubled and not fun at all.
Well, yeah. See, that's the whole thing. I can't say, oh, yeah, I was an Egyptian princess or anything like that. I was just an average person.
So was I.
But there was always an experience there that I have not experienced in my life now. And in some of these, I was a guy.
You were a guy?
Yeah, I was a guy.
What do you think about this couple that I was talking about earlier? That
I think they're weird.
Now, he wants to become her, and she wants to become him. But they're going to stay together.
If that isn't the ultimate war, I don't know.
And then I think that segued well into the snow in Israel.
That's kind of sick. You know, I got that right away. I think they're kind of sick. I hope they already had their kids, but then if they did, how are they going to explain that?
Oh, my God.
It's like,
I mean, if they have children now, I hadn't thought about that.
Can you imagine the woman saying, now I'm going to have all the power and you're going to find out just what it's like? You know, who gets to stay at home now?
I think you're right, though, about explaining it to the kids. How would you do that? Johnny, I'm your dad, but I used to be your mom.
Yeah.
And your mom used to be your dad.
I really don't think they have kids. At least I hope they don't, because that's just too screwy. I think it's just some people need a lot of attention.
Speaking of kids, are you sick of this alien story?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Enough already?
Oh, they play it constantly.
And now it's going to be March until they make a decision. My God, I don't know if I can stand it. They've got to decide before March because I can't stand it.
Yeah, and you know, the bad thing is you really don't hear too much from the relatives that he's staying with, and you don't know what they're telling this poor little boy. I mean, children that age is so impressionable.
Yeah, I heard the grandmother saying he's so changed. Well, hell yes, he's changed.
It's America.
He's being pampered. He's in Walmart. He's got all things he wants.
First thing that's going to change him is the fact that he was there when his mother and his stepfather died.
Yeah.
Okay, if that isn't a change, nothing is. Now, he's got to balance that with all the freedoms that he sees in America.
I don't think he's thinking about freedoms. I think he's thinking about erector sets. And,
yeah, maybe not the freedoms, but
Pokemon.
Maybe the standard of living.
Think I got Pokemon in Havana.
Yeah.
No way.
No, they don't.
So the longer he's here, the less likely it is. I mean, he'll be kicking and screaming when they finally take him away.
Oh, definitely. There's going to be a big major. You know, he's going through all these changes, and I haven't heard anybody say, how is he dealing with the death of his mother? How is he dealing with that? And, you know, you don't hear that.
No, you don't. Well, he probably won't consider that until he gets to be a lot older.
Well, I don't know. My dad died when I was 9. And I'll tell you, I thought about it constantly for years and years and years.
Mm.
And he's going through a lot. He was there. He saw them die. It's not like he just heard about it after the fact. You know, he's got to be pretty messed up. And then he's got this tug-of-war thing going on. I feel really sorry for him.
And anybody who's got to even consider the case. Listen, I got to go.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, thank you very much for the call. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning from the high desert, Ed Dames, Major Ed Dames, SciTech's Ed Dames, coming up next.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000.
I'm gonna fix this world today, because I know what's missing. Fanny rolled his big sleeves up, and a brand new world began. He created a woman and a lot of loving for a man. Whoa, 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 yes he did. With just £100 of clay, he made my life worth living. And I will thank him every day for every kiss you're giving. And I'll thank him every night for the arms that are holding me tight.
Riding along on a carousel, trying to catch up to you. Riding along on a carousel, will I catch up to you? Horses chasing, cause they're racing.
Yeah.
Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired January 27th, 2000.
Yes, indeed. That's the place. And we almost did not connect with him in time, but I've got Ed Dames. You know who Ed Dames is, don't you? Affectionately known as Dr. Doom by his counterparts while he was in the military. He was in the military remote viewing program for years and years. And he's the most popular, loved, hated guest that I've got. No question about it. Loved and hated at the same time. So I've got him parked ready to come on the air. A couple of things. We have got an awfully good alien photograph. And it was, the website is back up again. I guess I blew the website off the web when I first said it. But if you go to my website now, at www.artbell.com, go to the links part of the website, and it'll be the first link you see taking you over to setlab.org. In the photo gallery, you will see a photograph of an alien. And all we know about it was submitted by a 44-year-old woman who said that her close friend took the picture on board a U.S. naval vessel. This is vaguely resembling the burrito alien photo. It's been come to known. That's how some people know it now. You take a look and you let me know. It's an awfully, awfully good photograph. And it is available for viewing now, so you can give me your comments. Other than that, there's a lot of really bad weather news, a lot of bad weather out there right now. There is a storm cranking up and basically heading toward the site of the Super Bowl in Atlanta, a really bad storm. And another one that caught everybody pretty much by surprise. The weather forecasters have been not having a lot of luck lately. They've been missing them left and right. And they say, well, it's a computer, or it's the input to the computer, or, you know, who the hell knows what it is, but they've been blowing it big time. Out here, too, in the desert, by the way. Even from one day to the next, they've been getting it all wrong. Wonder what's going on. Maybe it's not them. Maybe it's the weather. Has that occurred to you? I read you a story about a man and a woman last hour. Yeah, get it. There it is. From Budapest, Hungary, a married couple are receiving hormone treatments ahead of planned sex change surgery that will, in fact, switch their genders. Man becomes woman, woman becomes man, marriage continues. The operation is set now for August. Medical preparations were temporarily suspended in September as doctors wrangled over who would operate. And then I followed that with a story indicating it is snowing in Israel, and I thought that was a pretty good connection. So, Ed Dames coming up shortly. Stay right where you are. All right, for 20 years, the U.S. had a program, a secret program, of disciplined psychics who did something called remote viewing. Major Ed Dames is one of the select few that was in that program. He's an extremely controversial character, and you either love him or hate him. Not too many people express a neutral emotion about Ed. And he's not afraid to say what he thinks, what he believes, what he's seen. Here from Hawaii, his tropical hideout, is Ed Dames. Major Dames, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Art. Aloha. It's a pleasure to be back.
How is the weather in Hawaii, by the way? Is it normal?
Well, I'm in Maui, where our headquarters is, and there's a cold spell right now. I think it's about 71 degrees.
Ugh, brutal.
It is.
Yeah. Well, Ed, great to have you back. Lots and lots and lots of questions. I have been trying to get hold of you in the last couple of days to engage you in a project. I'm sure you heard about it, probably got an email or something. You remember many people have called and said, was Jesus really on earth? And you have done that remote viewing project and said, yes, indeed, there was a man named Jesus. He did walk on earth, right?
Well, we have to be very careful in my business to make sure we get pattern lock on. All things and ideas, including people, have a pattern all their own, a unique pattern. So an idea also has a pattern, and we have to be careful to separate out the idea from a physical thing. So, for instance, when we, in technical remote viewing, search out the pattern for Jesus Christ, we might end up with five or six different targets, describing five or six different targets, whereas Jesus of Nazareth would be a unique target. And
oh, he sure would be. Yeah, he would be. Ed, quickly, this phone sounds not so good. Do you have another phone there?
This is the phone that you said the last time I called you
sounded
was a good phone.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But I do have another phone that I could try, and we can experiment with next after the break, perhaps.
That's probably me. It's just me. All right, so anyway, the bottom line, though, was that you did say that Jesus was, in fact, somebody who walked on the earth, right?
Jesus of Nazareth, as described
yes.
in popular literature, yes.
Yes,
it was a real individual, was crucified by a centurion in a lean-to shack, and...
All right, here's the request. And this, I would think, would really stand out. There are a lot of people who have had NDEs, you know, their pulse and their brain waves and all that. Everything stops, and they yet somehow come back to life. But usually after a matter of minutes, nobody that I know of has come back from the dead after 3 days. In the way you have described remote viewing to me and the events standing out kind of above the noise level, the bigger events standing out more in time, I would think that the resurrection of Jesus, the reanimation of Christ, a Christ coming back to life, that should be a standout item in the timeline.
If it was not, if the event itself was not apocryphal, if it was real, yes, it would be. But as a remote viewer, there might be very little that I could report as an observer about the event, because it might be the elements that initiated it might be beyond our ken. We might not be able to deal with it intellectually, if you know what I mean, except in very general metaphysical terms.
Would you
would be able to
maybe see. Not, but would you be able to actually determine whether or not Jesus did return to life? Because we've talked about how you see people who are dead. You know, you've done searches for people who are no longer alive. So wouldn't a return to life be a big event in the chain of things?
It would be, Art, but we have not succeeded in remote viewing in maintaining chain of custody when someone dies. We cannot track a person's essence they die.
In other words, I got you. In other words, you don't really see anything for them when they're gone. That's it. You don't see anything.
Well, there's something, but it's not there. It isn't anything that really registers in terms of a plethora of descriptive information. It's just kind of an amorphous arena where a person's soul is. We know there's something else going on, but we can't fathom it. And so we don't have chain of custody after a person dies.
Okay.
So if Jesus of Nazareth was resurrected, then I, as an observer, as a remote viewer, as a professional, would not be able to determine, because of the aforementioned, if that was the same essence that died 3 days prior. So
very
interesting. We have some limitations.
In other words, and you have no reference for trying to do that because there's been no other occurrence of it, I see.
Nothing that I have looked at, Art. 10 years of experience in SciTech, and then another five in a remote viewing unit, we've run up against things like this. That's why I'm able to say we can't maintain chain of custody. But I don't have a lot of experience in looking at something like that.
Okay. You attempted to remote view Satan. I can't let go of this. I thought that was one really, really dangerous project, as you know. And you did do it. And if my recollection is even close to correct, you saw four of his, I don't know what the right word would be, disciples. Does Satan have disciples, representatives, lieutenants, whatever you would call them?
An assistant. Let's call him an assistant.
Assistant.
One assistant.
One assistant.
Or one lieutenant, yes.
I have wondered, since you've done that, you have been different. I think that you have been different, and people I talk to that know you think that you have been different. Now, I said, could you have been possessed? And you said, no, you thought not. Could you have been affected? As you really search deeply within yourself, Ed, do you think you came away from that in some manner affected?
Oh, yes. Affected, yes. But knowledge always, there's always a responsibility that knowledge imparts, I think. And affected, oh yes, I was affected. Now here is this, the idea of Satan. We covered some of the reasons that I looked at that individual, children killing children. I wanted to look behind the scenes and see if there's something going on this planet in terms of a discontinuity.
Right.
Something driving from behind the scenes. And that is why I focused on Satan. And in part, it was to kind of pick up the ball that Father Malachi Martin was dropping because he was dying. And so I looked at Satan. Satan was a very arrogant, very beautiful angel, as reported in the scriptures. And the arrogance really was because Satan felt that there was no God, that he could be a God. And that
if what the Bible said, though, is accurate, Satan above all should know there's a God because God tossed him out.
No, that was after Satan made a decision. Actually, Lucifer made a decision because Satan was Lucifer's lieutenant. Lucifer made a decision to become a god because Lucifer did not believe that there was one, that it was a myth.
Well, Satan nevertheless got the boot, right? Fell.
Both.
Both
Lucifer
fell.
And
yes.
His lieutenant.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Fell.
So these very bright, brilliant, crystalline, angelic entities were cut off from the mainstream. They found out in no short order that there was a control system higher than they were. They did not have faith. And so, was I affected? Actually, yes, since the Christmas before last, I have been thinking about something. And
yeah, I mean, if you think about your own life and what you've gone through since then, with no need at all for any details, then probably there was, at about that time, Ed, a pretty drastic change in you.
Well, I think that there was one thing that did change, and that was if you look around the world, if I look around the world as an individual and see the amount of suffering, I begin to question whether there really is a loving God. I like to look at it as a control system. Whatever that control system is out there, we would generally agree that love is pretty important. Why? Because love gets positive feedback.
Yes.
People who have been deeply connected with the idea of love generally are surrounded by miracles in history. So that's positive feedback. And yet, why is the suffering here? So I think it's time to call the Creator to task and say, how can you allow this to happen? Now, the pat answer would be, well, there's a grand plan, and us as minor players, or who cares about the ideas of
right.
people? I mean, you and I would both agree that in the grand scheme of things, we're about as important as a sparrow, and that what we think and our ideas are about the same importance. And yet, why would a loving Creator allow this kind of suffering? I think because what we're looking at, and this is what I I derived out of a lot of work. Last program we talked about remote viewing the Ark of the Covenant. And
yes.
Some of what I'm about to say is a result of that work. I think that the supreme act of love in the distant past was that the Creator gave man the keys to the kingdom. It's like a good analogy would be a father and a son. When a teenage son asks a loving father for the keys to the car.
Mm.
And the father, with a little bit of worry, but a lot of love, says, okay, and crosses the fingers. That kind of faith in the son is what we're talking about here. And yet, if the son were to go out and commit mayhem with the vehicle, then the keys to the kingdom should be taken away. In our case, I think that we have to ask, we have to have the moral turpitude to turn around back to the Father, to the Creator, and say, take the keys back. We have to ask for the keys to be taken back, because we have created this tremendous amount of suffering and mayhem by virtue of having received this tremendous gift, the keys to the kingdom. We need to give the keys back. So what I'm thinking is about intervention by invitation.
Yeah, is it
going to be?
Oh, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. In other words, we need to give back some aspects of freedom. Read free will. Read
yes.
Right. Is
absolutely.
That correct?
That is
wow.
What I'm suggesting to you. And when you think
wow.
in terms of intervention. When you remote view intervention, it is, I had my own ideas about what intervention may be like, for instance, to render all nuclear weapons inert. But when you remote view it, people who are trained in technical remote viewing, they look at the next intervention.
Yes.
They get something totally different.
Well, I'm looking a lot at the weather, as you know, Ed. Not a book plug here, folks, but the subject matter is inescapable. What's going on with our weather right now? And socially, we're in a mess, and it's snowing in Israel, and it's doing a lot of mischief elsewhere. And when we get back, I want to talk to Ed a little bit about that, see what he sees, maybe. All right, Major Ed Dames, SciTech's Ed Dames, is my guest. He does something called remote viewing, which is nothing short of remarkable. If you want to learn how to remote view, we will, as the program progresses, tell you how. Don't touch that dial.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000.
My guest is Major Ed Dames, SciTech's Major Ed Dames. Remote viewing is a remarkable discipline that I have had scientist after scientist, by the way, come on and verify is absolutely real. Lots of very well-respected PhD types have said, oh, yes. Yes, absolutely real. And Ed Dames is a remote viewer. So if you're curious about it and what it's all about, stay tuned. All right, back now to Ed Dames. And Ed, what a fascinating concept. In other words, We need to have some of our free will, freedom, our ability to have the keys. We need intervention. We need to have some of the keys taken away. I'd never thought of it that way. Anyway, I wanted to move on to all over the world right now, Ed, and I mean all over the world, not just the U.S., where right now they're missing forecasts left and right. They're complaining about the new million-dollar computers. We're hearing that 40% of the ice at the Arctic is gone, a little secret they kept during the Cold War because they didn't want to indicate where our submarines had been, i.e. where they might go again. But we've lost 40% of the ice at the Arctic over the last two decades. That's amazing and not good. The Antarctic in trouble, on and on and on. I could go through a litany. Storms that have just, they're unheard of in strange places. Tornadoes, there was tornado warning in Texas earlier today. I don't know if they actually had one or not, but it was pretty bad. And they're just missing forecasts like crazy. They're attributing it to, I don't know, all kinds of different things. Whatever it is, they're not getting it right all of a sudden. Something is really, really wrong. And I wonder if you've, I know you've looked at this in some way.
Well, for at least 2.5 years on your program, I have been saying, and before Y2K was even an issue,
yep,
that we as technical remote viewers saw nothing connected with Y2K of that was eventful.
You
nothing.
Have said that, absolutely,
but,
right down the line.
But it would be eclipsed by something else.
That's
the,
right.
The idea of Y2K wasn't there. But looming on the horizon around the time of this milestone that we called Y2K event,
right,
was something bigger, and it was something happening to the sun. And that something, and by the way, today, and as we speak, almost unprecedented levels of solar wind and the interplanetary magnetic field, the measurements went off the scale today.
Really?
Yes, take a look at that when you get a chance.
I will.
So there is a linkage between the sun, the sun's behavior, and the weather on Earth that I've talked about before via the Earth's ionosphere being pumped by the sun, that meteorologists have not divined yet. They don't realize how strong that linkage is.
We just had 4 C-class flares.
Well, again, look at the solar one today, and you'll see what I mean. That is almost unprecedented, and more than that, the magnetic field measurements as measured by GOES satellites went right off the scale.
What's going on?
Well, the sun's going on, just as predicted. And this idea of storms, we've talked about this over and over again. No matter how you cut it, as technical remote viewers, the future holds one thing and one thing only: some very, very big storms as an effect of the sun's behavior. And I mean big.
Yeah, we're getting them.
And one more thing. So one more thing: the sun and microbes, disease. Those two things alone. The sun and weather as a function of the sun's behavior, in addition to microbes, both plant pathological microbes and human diseases, are going to be Thor's hammer. That's the kind of intervention that I'm talking about. Why I say intervention? Because it does appear to be, although I'm loath to say it as a professional TRVer, there does appear to be an intelligence behind this event, so that this cleansing concept appears to be real in terms of those things.
Well, I also recall that when you remote viewed Satan and saw his lieutenant, I asked you, and you said that he seemed to turn and notice you or take note of you or be aware of your presence, yes?
The entity that is connected with Satan when you remote view this,
yes,
and the lieutenant that is by that entity's side, I'll call it a lieutenant for lack of a better word, this
right,
other entity, having used, having been in the Psi Spy unit and looked at Soviets and Chinese and all kinds of other operations, military operations, and know what it feels like to turn one's mind to a military operation. When one turns one's mind to, let's say, the war room, for lack of a better word, of Satan, it's as if, allegorically, that entity has arms crossed and is looking at you, inviting you to take a look at the battle plan, at the operational plan, because there's nothing you can do to stop it at all. It's
kind of
as
like,
if it was destined.
Come on in and check out my map.
That's right.
Yeah.
So feel free, because there's nothing you can do to stop this from happening. And that's the way it feels when you're in Satan's war room, so to speak. Now, I've been inside of Saddam Hussein's real war room as a remote viewer in the Psi Spy unit and as a contractor for other companies years ago who worked as a subcontractor, and it felt nothing like that. It's just cut and dry. Here's the plans. Here are the phase lines and boundaries of the battle, and here's what we expect to do. Here's our hidden logistics points. Totally different feeling when you're looking at a human.
Do you think what we are experiencing now on Earth with all of the changes, and they're real, and all of the bad weather, and it's as real as can be, and the worsening storms, is that coming from that war room, Ed?
No. No, it's not. It's coming from outside, from a control system beyond this planet. One would think it is a natural cyclic event, just a cyclic event.
Mm.
But it appears to be a modulated, orchestrated event from the control system.
It's a good word for it, modulated.
Mm-hmm.
A control system with any sort of source that you can describe or not?
Supernatural, divine, something like that.
Divine.
God, Thor. And it's like that. It's time to defrag and reboot, that kind of thing. Start all over again. It's like a gardener who tills the soil, leaves the land fallow and replants. More than that, though, as a remote viewer, you have to use analogies when you run up against these big things like this, these big ideas. You have to use metaphor and analogies, and a good one.
Well, if you're using a metaphor and an analogy, you had a pretty good one there. Defrag, you said. I have a feeling if we were to defrag the world right now, we'd come back with a lot of bad sectors.
Well, yes. And so the better analogy, and the one that is more apropos, and indeed the one that pops up, in at least in my remote viewing sessions time and again, is that of a cancer patient who is undergoing chemotherapy or about to undergo chemotherapy.
Yes.
A lot of the good goes out with the bad. There's a lot of radiation treatments and chemotherapy that finally end up killing the cancer, but it leaves the patient pretty battered.
Yeah.
And that appears to be the kind of events that are about to take place in this next decade or so on Earth, that in terms of eliminating a cancer on the planet, but leaving the patient requiring some time to rest and recover, the patient being Earth, the cancer being man.
Hmm. Or the cancer.
Yeah, it appears that, and that's one analogy. It's hard and cold in terms of us, but as individuals, who are we? We're just dust specks. And the planet is a garden. It grows a lot of souls, and these last few generations have really prevented, or we're destroying the environment. We know that we are.
Can you tell me how this will proceed? They will, of course. You have said they'll get much worse and the weather much weirder, the storms much stronger. But will it culminate in some catastrophic event? Will it culminate in intervention? Will it culminate in Or will we just pass through it to another cycle of some sort?
I'm not sure, but it's a two-pronged attack. That I am sure of. One is weather as a function of solar behavior, and the other is a microbial attack. So it's two-pronged. The microbial attack is on plants as well as animals, so food crops. It's going after, the attacker is going after our food.
God, I've got to say, you've been rock steady. Going back at least 18 months, if not more, when everybody was concerned about Y2K, and because, frankly, nobody knew what was going to happen with Y2K. Nobody knew. Even the experts, the government experts, they didn't know.
You, I took my honeymoon in Indonesia.
I know. You told us squarely again and again Y2K was not going to be the event, and it was not. We now know, surely, we're far enough down line, we know it was not. So you were right. You were right, and you were calling that when everybody else was saying something else. So people better bear that in mind. You said it again and again and again. But you also said, and you also called, the worsening storms and weather and biological attendant events with it. When do we get to the stage? I mean, we're right in the middle of the weather change now. When do we get to the stage where the biological aspect of it begins to get to be very serious, as the weather is now?
It's already started. That biological warfare attack has already started. It's there now. It's almost as if, I noticed that President Clinton a couple of weeks ago has asked for something like $340 million to resurrect this nation's defensive biological warfare.
Yes, he did.
And it's almost as if at the unconscious level he knows that something is, that it's, this is going to be needed. But in fact, the Centers for Disease Control and any defense establishment, P4 facility, high containment facility, will not be able to keep up with the rapidity with which microbes take off and begin their attack. We're not going to be able to keep up with that. So it's starting now, right now. And in a natural logarithmic curve, you know, you have that little dog leg, and then you have this curve that goes straight up.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading straight up right now. We're past the little bend in the in the road. So,
is there, and everybody would ask this, is there anything that will prevent or in some way mitigate what's going to happen?
I have looked, and I have explored this using the best of my skills, and I cannot find anything that will mitigate or ameliorate the effects of this two-pronged attack. My guess, though, is prayer. That's my only guess. And, you know, that miracles are an adjunct to prayer, so that would be that's what I'm going to do. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm pray my head off. So that's all I know.
Well, that would be prayer for divine intervention, and again, we would be praying for the ability to give some of the keys back. And I wonder how many human beings really would be willing to give that up, Ed, to give up their free will to do bad if they want to, or their free will to do whatever. I mean, their freedom, it's so cherished, it's at the very center of even what our whole country is about.
Yes.
You know, you read the Constitution, Bill of Rights, it's all about that kind of freedom that is now straining. I mean, we're straining the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and all the rest of it, and yet that's the very thing that you're saying we've got to give back.
Yes, I think we have to relinquish control. It's like, again, the teenage son saying, okay, Dad, I think I better give these keys back to you.
Yeah, but see, they really don't do that. It's more like, give those damn keys back. This is going to cost your allowance for the next 100 years. Have you seen that car? So the keys are taken back, not so much given back, usually, not by a teenage boy.
Actually, that appears to be the best analogy, that one right there. Art, there's a couple things I'd like to say here before we go on with this. First of all, I'm speaking to you from Maui. My vice president is in Beverly Hills right now at a birthday party. Her aunt is 100 years old today.
100 years old?
100 years old. Winifred Nearing. And they're having a party back in Beverly Hills right now.
100 years old. Happy birthday, Winifred.
And I noticed that the other night, unfortunately, I missed your program. Professor Paula Gunn Allen,
did you
interview her?
Oh, I did indeed.
I had been looking for Paula's address and phone number for months. She's a close friend of mine. I was surprised to see that she was a guest on your show. Paula Gunn Allen, Professor Allen, was probably one of the best remote viewing graduates from my professional course.
You're kidding.
No, oh no. In fact, she was so good, I hired her. In fact, she worked the O.J. Simpson project, the Nicole Simpson murder weapon project, and
right.
several others. In fact, some military projects I even commissioned her. She was that good.
She didn't say a word.
She is superb, and one of the reasons she was such a good remote viewer is because she is so educated and she's so disciplined. I've found that college professors, she's a professor emeritus at UCLA, people who have been grading papers and burning the midnight oil for years or decades, they're very disciplined, self-disciplined, and that kind of discipline really pays off in remote viewing in addition to her knowledge base. Because when she remote views something conceptually, the concepts and ideas can find immediate connection in a left brain sense with things that she knows about because she knows so much. And so she can sketch and describe any number of details at a target site, a murder scene or something like that, that you and I would miss.
Then, Ed, it must be true that a lot of the graduates and the really stellar performers that have come through SciTech's training course don't make that information public. In other words, they generally just use it privately to complement their work and or their life or whatever. They just they're not very public about it. They just use it.
That's correct. That's correct. In fact, I am leaving SciTech in the next few months. I'm stepping aside. My vice president is going to take over the company. I have established the Technical Remote Viewing Institute this month, and I will be training again scientists and engineers at the institutional level with a master's program so that people can teach this professionally.
So in other words, you're going to leave the company that you have formed, SciTech. You're going to form a new company, and you're going to begin teaching again at the master's level. That means in person, right?
Yes, I missed the classroom. I founded SciTech 10 years ago. It's been great. The public has now been made aware of what remote viewing is and training opportunities available to them. But I want to get back in the classroom with professionals again, Nobel laureates, Rhodes Scholars, Pulitzer
wow.
Prize winners, and train people in specialty areas.
Are you going to do this from Hawaii?
It will be Hawaii, Los Angeles, and New York initially.
Holy smokes, Ed. That's quite an announcement. So you'll have... I know you have an office in Los Angeles area, and are you going to get one in New York as well?
Yes, that's correct.
So
but I won't be there all the time, just training until I have a cadre that can train, and that is why I'm putting together a master's program. But these will be engineers, scientists, and physicians, and I will be training in the areas where technical remote viewing has proved most successful. And we will be eschewing the areas where it has either failed to produce or is weak.
Well, this sounds like quite an opportunity for a lot of people. And that's quite a change for you. All right. Stay right where you are, Ed. And we'll be right back. Never fails. Ed's always got lots and lots of surprises. And this certainly is a new one. Back to the classroom and an opportunity that I thought was lost for university level of scientists, those kinds of people, to learn what Ed knows. I'm Art Bell.
trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000.
Well, always with a surprise, my guest is Major Ed Dames, presently SciTech. But he's got a whole new road ahead. You know, that was recently voted, I think, the greatest song of all time, and for obvious reasons. I think so, too. We'll be right back. All right, once again, here's Major Ed Dames, and still SciTech's Ed Dames, but soon to be. What is the new name of your company?
It's not a company. It is an institute, and it's the Technical Remote Viewing Institute. It was established this month, and it is for professionals in the physical sciences, the hard sciences, and the medical sciences only. And beginning Monday, I'll be screening applicants, and they can send applications to me initially at eddames@trvinstitute.com.
Wow. So you're taking applications for personal training?
Yes, for professionals in the hard sciences and
all
medical
right.
sciences only.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about medicine then. I have a very good friend, or we have a mutual friend, I guess would be a better way to put it, John Alexander, who works for NIDS, for Bob Bigelow.
Mm-hmm. Colonel Alexander.
Colonel
and
Alexander.
I go back
That's
to
right.
about 1980.
He's the real McCoy, no question about that. I know his background, and he's as real as it gets. His first wife experienced a miraculous recovery from cancer after you remote viewed her problem. What happened?
That is something that is very personal, Art, and it is not connected with remote viewing per se. That was a spontaneous healing that is...
Let's
pushing the envelope to talk about that one.
All right, let's then make it more generic. And I always thought of technical remote viewing, Ed, as things that you could see but not affect, you know, not affect in a material way. In other words, if somebody had a cancer or somebody had AIDS or something like that, you might see a course of treatment that would be appropriate in a particular case, but that you could not really affect a cure? Or is that not totally true?
Well, I'll tell you what I know to be true based upon my experiences. I'll use two examples. One is a cancer, similar to the one you were just talking about, where if you remote view a spontaneous cure, you find through, and this is a very difficult remote viewing project, but we find that the cancer is, let me just, as an aside, let you know that angels can move forward and backward in time. Okay?
Yes.
They can do a lot of things. They're real, and they can manipulate the binding force of nature. They can traverse time. They can do those two things. So in some cases where you have these spontaneous healings, the way it is done and the way that we put it together by using technical remote viewing to piece together the pieces if angels go back in time and stop the disease before it starts, so they actually alter the trajectory of time. That's one thing that
Well,
happens.
That's as good an explanation as any, because when these things happen, doctors throw up their hands and they say, sorry, we have no medical explanation for this, period.
Or we misdiagnosed it, or we don't know what happened, you know, we...
Oh, but in a lot of cases,
they
have irrefutable evidence of disease that just flat stops.
Yes, well, that's one example. The other is, I'll give you another personal example, where prayer is not remote viewing. Prayer is something else. It facilitates healing. You know, healing is real.
Right.
But there's a degree of connectedness. If you are, and I don't know how to explain this, really, in terms of being connected. But if you're connected to the system, to the control system, effectively, let's use the example of Pele, the famous soccer star, who would walk in, still does in Brazil, walk into hospitals where children are dying, terminally ill, walks back out and the children heal spontaneously. He could only attribute this to, and these are his own words, to his closer connection with God now that he has more time since he retired from soccer. Okay? So in the scientific community, you don't talk about things like that. Those are put in the back closet. I talk about it all the time. So let me give you another personal example. There's an individual who I thought was very connected, and I asked this individual to pray for the daughter of a doctor.
Right.
The daughter was sent home with a grapefruit-sized tumor in her stomach. She was sent home to die. This individual began to pray every night for this little girl. And the doctor, the father, said, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. The tumor is shrinking. And in 2 weeks, this little girl was back in the school with no tumor. Well, I really subjected that case to my expertise.
Boy, I bet.
PRV as a skill, and watched what was happening. And what was happening was the individual himself who was praying for this little girl had no effect. There was no connection directly to the little girl. But at the little girl and inside of her was an angel working on this tumor. This light being that was working on this tumor each night as this little girl slept. So it's as if the person who is praying facilitates or flips a switch somewhere, if they're connected, and facilitates this healing where angels become the engineers of the prayer, the effectors.
Oh, that's really interesting. The only thing it brings up is really where you were a little while ago, and that is why one little girl's tumor would be taken by an angel and so many other innocents, prayers, intense prayers of relatives, so many innocents die unaccountably.
Well, by deduction, it looks like it's the degree of connectedness that is the key here. How connected is the person who is praying, who is asking for intercession? Is it Mother Teresa, or is it the person that walks into the Catholic Church in New York and pays a dime for every Hail Mary?
Yeah.
Which one? So, you get the picture.
I do. Oh, I
now,
do.
How does one become connected? Well, I guess you just have to work at it.
It doesn't seem like it's something that you just go and do. It seems like a process.
It does. It really does. And it's very effective. I could give you other examples that I've collected over the years, but I think those two serve the purpose well.
All right. Are you going to be doing more of this kind of work? You said you were going to be, you know, training medical people, for example. Are there a lot of medical people now that you have trained that are using this in the field?
No, I'm not going to be doing this with them. In the classroom, it will only be strict, hard science diagnostic tools. This is my own little study area.
Right.
I'm going back into science and technology again, too, because that's where technically remote viewing really succeeds, diagnosing failures, material failures, accidents, elucidating the causes of diseases, where, for instance, is the reservoir of Ebola, the reservoir of chikungunya, other viruses. We really shine at this, and that's the kind of
All right, then let's look at a couple of technical-type things. One, you have explained several times about TWA 800. The Egypt Air 990 crash, on the other hand, appears to be extremely politically sensitive. I've seen, I don't know how many statements now from our people that seem to want to suggest, look, this was a suicide. It was a suicide. And Egypt kind of got all that turned around for a while, and people backtracked 1,000 miles an hour. You could hear the political gears grinding as the statements came out. And you have described for us what you saw occur on Egypt Air 990.
I mentioned to you on a previous program that when the voice recorder is pulled up from the water, you will find that there was an altercation in the cabin.
That's what you said.
That is what took the aircraft down, not a missile, not a wind shear, an air-driven pump in System 3 breaking or something like that. It was an altercation in the cabin.
And that's exactly what happened.
Very easy task for technical remote viewing.
In other words, this is the kind of task that technical remote viewing shines at.
Yes, and another one that I'm working right now, I'm halfway done with it, the technical lead of NASA's Near-Earth Asteroid Rendezvous mission. This is a spacecraft that is supposed to rendezvous next month with the Eros asteroid. For the first time, a spacecraft will rendezvous with an asteroid. There was a technical problem with this the last time they attempted to maneuver the spacecraft, and NASA has called SciTec to the rescue and asked...
So NASA is employing SciTec?
They've asked us... In SciTec, I do the showpiece problems gratis. I do not charge government agencies money.
I see. All right.
We use the successes to sell technical remote viewing tapes. That's how the company makes its living.
Sure.
So we work these problems like this. It gives us a lot of credibility when a national agency comes to us and asks for help.
Of course.
We work for the United Nations, National Security Council, other agencies.
And what is the mission at question here again?
The mission is called the Near-Earth Asteroid Rendezvous Mission. And it is a spacecraft that was launched to rendezvous with a very large asteroid for the first time. And the last time they fired the rockets to maneuver this, the last time there was a burn,
right,
the spacecraft inexplicably tumbled out of control and burned up 28 kilograms of fuel, which is a lot more than a lot of fuel. And they can't afford to do this again. So they've been at their wits' end, that mission, to try to determine what happened and why that spacecraft tumbled. So I remote viewed that myself. It takes a professional to work on a problem like this and determine that the spacecraft lost contact with one of its guide stars. It could not regain contact with a guide star, and so kept tumbling. All right? Now I need...
Or it kept firing. In other words, without the guide star... For navigation, it kept firing.
It couldn't find its navigational reference point, this particular star, so it kept trying to look for it, burning up fuel.
What do they do then?
Well, they kept on trying to maneuver the spacecraft and send radio signals to turn it and to rotate it, and finally, they did not know why it stopped. They did not know why it started tumbling either. They understood the problem in terms of lateral acceleration and all that, but they didn't understand why it tumbled.
Huh.
So what I did was diagnose that. Now I need to find out where the problem lies. Is it in software in the spacecraft, or software on the ground, or what is it, human error on the ground?
And you need to do that before they send any more commands.
That's right. Now, I'm leaning at this juncture toward a human error on the ground rather than a software error or a computer misfunction, but that's just tentative. So
Oof.
I'm still working that.
All right.
That's a very expensive thing, so technical remote viewing can be extraordinarily helpful in a problem like that and save the taxpayers a lot of money, industry a lot of money.
Okay, well, here's another one for you. Now, you remote viewed the latest Mars probe that failed, and you said it burned up in the atmosphere.
Correct.
this Mars probe, if I understand correctly, was supposed to, it had a main section to it, and then two things that were going to be cast off from it.
Correct.
And would land separately.
Mm-hmm.
In the last week, they're saying they might be detecting an extremely weak signal, maybe, from this spacecraft.
I saw that report and began to work it. It appears that that signal, for instance, the Stanford, this signal was detected by Stanford University's 45-meter antenna. So the way we work this in technical remote viewing, if we have a histogram, if we have an actual picture of the signal on a graph,
right,
we can take that and use it as a target reference. So as a technical remote viewer, we could look at that and look at the signal's origin. Now, we would not want to use the word source if we had a photograph of the signal that stuck out from the noise, background noise,
right,
because the source of the photo would be an instrument on the ground, right?
Right.
But if we use the idea of the signal rather than the picture,
yes,
then we can look at the signal's origin.
Okay.
You see how literal the search is?
I do.
That it's. I don't think it's any accident that the way our libraries are constructed and the way the Internet searches are done is a direct reflection of the way the universe stores, the universal mind stores and references information and ideas. It's very interesting.
So then with regard to the source?
So the origin of the signal, when you remote view that, it appears to be a long tubular structure. And what I think is either, I haven't completed this yet, it is something in orbit around the Earth, and it's either a signal that's being reflected off of an orbiting derelict, or it's one of those NSA spy satellites or something like that.
But it's not the Mars probe.
No, it is not. It's something in orbit around the Earth, in periodic orbit. An echo.
All right, I've got you. Hold on, Ed. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired January 27th, 2000.
If you would like to know how to remote view, we're going to tell you in a moment. There are tapes available. They're the best on the subject in the nation. So get a paper and a pencil and a pen or a pen or something, a piece of charcoal, something you can scratch with. We'll tell you how to do it if you'll stay right where you are. All right, I promised you we would tell you how you can get the set of videotapes that will teach you how to remote view. They are superb tapes. They were done, how long now, Ed? 2 years ago? A couple years?
Almost three.
Three, almost. How time flies. And they were done by, directed by an Academy Award nominated director, and there's, you'll know that the minute you see them. They're extremely professional. And I'm saying that from my own viewing of the first tape. I still haven't gone any further. We'll discuss that in a minute. But there is a full set. You can get the first tape, which is still available, I think, individually, isn't it, Ed? The introductory tape?
Yes.
What, $49 or something?
Yes.
All right. And then there's the full course, 6 video training session tapes with over 10 hours of instruction in how to do all this. And they're presently offering a $70 discount on the full set of the training tapes. Now, these tapes will get you to what level of proficiency, Ed, if you follow them as you should?
Intermediate TRV skills in 4 months. That means an hour a day or an hour every other day for 4 to 6 months of training, the way the tapes instruct you to train.
All right.
Are your people are interested in background, the tapes, or want to see cuts from our media presentation, streaming video, those kinds of things, or want to order on our website, can bounce over to our website via your site.
And you've got streaming video that gives a little sample of, oh, that's really cool.
We have streaming video on our modules and on our news presentations at various networks where we've done the work, so people can actually see us at work and what we've done in terms of the media. And I might add one other thing, too. There's a growing number of high schools that have received our complete tape sets free under my project, Operation Guiding Light. And high school librarians who wish to have this tape set in their libraries can write the company on their letterhead, and we provide the complete set free to high schools. The reason I initiated this program is because young people, they really do not know who to trust or to believe anymore. And these techniques, technical remote viewing, teaches these young people how to learn how to trust themselves. And so...
I would think your tapes in a school would be a really controversial item. Really controversial.
It depends on the school, Art. It all depends on the school. And I'm a little reticent about the program myself, only because once high school kids get rolling on these tapes, they sometimes are remiss in doing their homework and other things, because it's a very exciting thing, you know, you've got to realize. To be able to look through time and space and discern things that you could never do before, because you have a skill that is essentially a superpower. So there's some pros and cons about distributing these to young people, but I think the pros outweigh the cons.
You did something that you said you would never do. You remote viewed your own death, something that can be done with a technical remote viewing. And you didn't exactly expound on the manner of your death, if you even know, or the time of your death, if you know. But I do note that you did it after remote viewing Satan, and I wondered if the two were in any way connected.
I wouldn't be able to tell you if they're I wouldn't know at the conscious level right now. I'd have to explore that using these techniques. Remote viewing uses the unconscious as a venue. So our conscious awareness, you and I speaking right now, are consciously aware of each other. That's just the tip of the iceberg. About nominally 80% of our mind is at the unconscious level. I don't mean subconscious. That's something else, and I don't want to get into technicalities right now. But at the unconscious level, there's a lot going on. And that's where... remote viewing operates at that level.
Do you know how you're going to die?
No, I don't know exactly how I'm going to die. It's there are certain probabilities involved, and it's a fuzzy set. What I did was to walk, figuratively speaking, along a trajectory until my time of death, and look back. I was looking for certain things that I regrets that I may have had about, and that's what I was looking for. That's the reason I did that.
I was thinking of things more like the symbol of the mighty Dodge bearing down on you or something.
No.
Not that.
No.
Okay.
No.
So you didn't really get the specific manner of your death then?
No, I didn't. No, I did not.
Okay.
We can do that a lot for individuals. Sometimes we can't, sometimes we can. And there are some ethics involved. It appears,
yes, indeed,
that the Matrix will actually, in no uncertain terms, lead you down a primrose path and provide you with what looks like solid information that is solidly wrong in the case where you violate some ethics. There appears to be an ethical gatekeeper in the Matrix, the collective unconscious that we deal with. Very interesting.
All right, then. Then you've led me right where I want to go. With regard to the ethics of remote viewing, it would be possible, would it not? In fact, I think you may have done it, to locate a religious artifact, like, for example, the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes, I'm working on that now.
I know you are.
Working on that now. I have some things to say about that if you're interested.
Of course I am. Let me just finish my question, then we'll launch into what... the Ark of the Covenant, for example, we might imagine could... perhaps affect the outcome of a Middle East war or something like that, if it should be found. It would be a sort of a catalytic artifact. And if you found it, and if you knew it would have some gigantic catalytic effect like the outcome of a war, what are the considerations that go into releasing that kind of information?
Art, my experience... I can now say, my experience is that if there would be a problem like that, if the responsibility of if information about something like that were to catalyze a war, generally, from my experience, we would not be able to effectively remote view to gain the information at all. We wouldn't be able to do it.
Or what if it was the other way around? What if the opening of it, once found, would be the catalyst for a war?
I think the same criteria applies.
Applies, huh?
Mm-hmm. I would not have said this so as early as 3 or 4 years ago. That's right, 3 or 4 years ago. But from my experience, it appears to be the case now. There is a gatekeeper that will not allow you to get in that kind of trouble.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. We noticed it first as a military team 15 years ago. There was something that we termed an outside agency that seemed to be interfering or editing some of the remote viewing sketches and descriptions, the data that we were downloading with reference to certain things. And we thought that really nonplussed me very, very much.
Sort of a collective consciousness hacker.
More like a gatekeeper. Some agency, and I even turned them an outside agency that was editing. I detected it once, and it very, very much unnerved me and nonplussed me. I thought, what could this be? What could be in our minds, figuratively speaking, that could be acting as a gatekeeper? Come to find out that mind is unitary. There's only one mind, and we're all part of it.
Okay, with regard to the Ark of the Covenant, what do you know?
Well, this is a real bugbear in terms of a search term, because you need a unique pattern to lock on to what most people would conjecture would be this ark that is probably not apocryphal, but something that Moses really did put together.
Yes.
But there's so much in history that surrounds the ark, and indeed there are ersatz arks that have been built by people and placed in various places, and there are arks that are mock-ups, so you have to really be careful.
So all of that would be confusing for you.
Yeah, very confusing. It's hard to get a target lock on. What I want is a pattern of information that's unique to Moses' original ark. So to make a long story short, after 2 weeks of bouncing around time, space, and deserts, what I did was to use a passage from Exodus 34, which says that, as English translation, As he came down from the mountain, Moses had the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. And he did not know that the skin on his face was radiant. And when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, the skin on his face shone so much that they would not venture near him. I use that passage knowing that the ark has in it, the original ark, has the broken tablets. As you might know, Moses was alleged to have broken the two tablets in anger.
Yes, yes.
The broken tablet, the original ones, Aaron's rod, and some manna, at least, were said to be in the original ark. So what I did to make sure I had target lock on, or to be relatively sure, I used the tablets of the testimony, Moses' tablets, as a lock on. So if I find those broken tablets, I know I've got the ark. That's my premise. So I'm working that right now, and it does look like it's not discovered.
Let's say you find it, Ed.
Locate it. Mm-hmm.
What would you do with that information?
The same thing I said on the last program. I put, as our SciTech Millennial Project, actually as my swan song, since I'm leaving SciTech, I'm going to put a big red X right on the location of the Ark.
Well, that'll set off a race.
Maybe it will, but when you think about it, that stone, the writing on those stones, I don't know how many pieces they're in, but that is probably the most important
writing in the world.
In the world, yeah. Very close to it.
Do you have any idea, as a concept, of what would occur or might occur should it be opened?
No, I don't know if it's like Pandora's box or what. I don't have. It might be a non-event. Who knows? I have not researched that. I'd rather wait and see.
In other words, whether there would be, I guess, what we would consider a spiritual or paranormal event associated with the opening, or whether it would be, as you correctly forecast, a non-event with Y2K.
Well, I'm not saying it would be a non-event. I am not definitely...
For humanity, it would be a gigantic event, whether there was a paranormal event connected with it or not, or a spiritual event.
Well, there could also be the possibility that the tablets might not be taken for what they are, that they still have to be analyzed and assessed to be the real thing. So would that happen, and would that be verifiable? Would they be adjudged to be veridical or not? So that has to go through that kind of process too.
If you did more than put a big red X down and tell the world where it is, and you actually went to that location and
which you might do. Yes.
My question is, would you open the Ark of the Covenant, or would you consider it and do a whole lot of TRV sessions first?
No, I don't think I would open it, because I think it's just a matter of respect. I don't feel that I should be the one, that someone like me should be the one to open that kind of a significant box. I wouldn't do it.
But it would be ethical to show the world where it is.
It appears to be, Art, because I'm locking on to a location, and I would not be able to do that if it were not the Ark itself. It would be the original Ark. So I would just be off in a place that had nothing to do with the Ark. For instance, a really good example, is when I professionally remote viewed the cause of you leaving the air. And got this scenario of you laying in the crypt in the tomb on the Giza Plateau.
I remember, yes.
And my data as a professional was solid, rock solid. But that had nothing to do with the reason that you left the air. However, it was not ethical to look into your conscious mind in the first place, as we know. There was not ethical in the least. And so I was led to a place and parked somewhere, figuratively speaking, that had nothing to do with the real reason why you left the air.
Although it was a gigantic and recent event in my life, a profound event in my life, there's no question about that.
That's correct, but I had no business looking in your mind at that. No business at all.
Hmm. By the way, I really respect your initial look at this Mars probe business, seeing a long cylindrical object that's reflecting UHF signals that originate on Earth or possibly from another satellite in space, it is so absolutely possible as an explanation for what it is they're getting. It's as good as any I've heard. So, listen, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, if we can, I would like to open the lines. I've hogged you long enough, and see what the audience has. You willing to do that?
Of course.
Of course. Great. All right, Ed, hold it right there. When we come back, we will open the lines for Major Ed Dames, who does technical remote viewing. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000.
I wonder if there'll ever be another ABBA. I love that group. Good morning, everybody. Ed Dames is here, and we're talking about technical remote viewing. I have a pile of faxes about half a foot thick, and I'm going to try and get to a couple of the important questions, and then we're going directly to the telephone. So, stay right where you are. Boy, do I have a pile of faxes here, and I'll try and get through quickly a few questions, just very quickly, with Ed. Ed, here's the first angry fax, and I'll just read it to you and see how you answer. Ed Dame said Y2K would have no effect because we would no longer be here by January 1st, 2000. He said an event would preempt Y2K and wipe us out. Nail him down, Art. He's full of it. Well, I don't remember you saying we wouldn't be here.
I didn't say preempt. I said eclipsed by.
Eclipsed by.
Preempt means something else.
Okay. Thank you. The other thing is, somebody just sent me a chart showing the solar winds for today. And, Ed, oh, man, it's off the chart. Holy Jehoshaphat. It went right up to the top.
No, that I think what you're looking at, Art, is the interplanetary magnetic field strength that went through the top. It went off the
off
chart.
The chart here.
Yeah, that's what I was pointing out earlier.
It's goes, for those who know, I'm not sure, it's goes HP, that chart.
That's the magnetic field.
It's right through the roof.
Yeah, it's they need to expand. They need some new parameters on their charts because the sun is going to do that more often.
Well, I would hold this up, but somebody can go and get it. I guess there's a website for this. If you if you want to see it, folks, it's unbelievable. It really is actually off the chart.
Art, there's a connection to that website on your Keith Rowland's got one up there on your website.
Okay. Well, you can go to my website, folks, and take a look for yourself. It's off the chart. Actually off the chart. Now, I've got to ask you about something that I know you're not going to answer, but I've got a bunch of faxes, so I have to do it. Ed, this whole damn chemtrail thing is going through the roof. We've got people taking aircraft up, about to take aircraft up to take actual altitude samples of this stuff. I've had a lot of guests on it. I know I've asked you about it before. And the question is simply, has Ed been able to remote view this phenomenon and come to any conclusions? And go ahead and give us the answer for the, you know, the benefit of those who haven't heard you give it before.
Well, unfortunately, I have not been out of the military and the military intelligence for that many years. And so I have a connection with some of those, some atmospheric testing of some types that's classified. So I can't talk about it for that reason. But I invite any trained remote viewers, and we've sold thousands and thousands of tapes and for 2 years now. There's a lot of people out there who can do this well, to take a look at this, that the origin, actually the purpose of those chemtrails. Do it the right way, the way you've been taught. Take a photograph of one of the trails. Don't just subject it to a topical search, the chemtrails in general. You need a photograph of one specific pattern, and then look at explore that using techno remote viewing. Look at the purpose, look at what's there, those kinds of things. Do it the right way, and you'll have the answer. You'll have an answer that I can't.
Bottom line is, you're not allowed to talk about this. Simple as that.
If I talked about it, I wouldn't be doing another show with you.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right, here we go. First time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
This is Gordon in Costa Mesa, California.
Yes, sir.
Major Dames, I have a brief statement and then two quick questions for you.
Sure.
I have studied Christian theologies and Hebrew theologies for a number of years, and I must say I take issue with you on one certain word. Satan is really an interpolation of the 16th century. The original word meant the opposers, plural. It never meant a single deity. And my understanding of remote viewing is you need a definite deity to be able to remote view such an item. Is
no,
this
you
true?
You need a target reference. What we have is it can either be a discrete target or a topic. Satan, when I remote viewed Satan, it was done as what we term in our technology a topical search. A topical search, you're really not sure what the question is or if the question is coherent. So you subject the topic to a series of technical remote viewing probes, usually about 6 remote viewing sessions, to see if there's coherent data there. When I did that, I came up with 2 entities, they were not human, connected with the topic of Satan.
I see. Art, you wrote a book with Brad Steiger, did you not?
That's right, The Source.
Yes, I believe in Brad Steiger's book, Returning from the Light, which is one of his great many books, he talks about this whole section very simply in showing that Sa-Tan is really an ancient Chaldean word that came into the Hebrew language around 800 B.C., and it actually means the opposers. And when Christ turned to Peter in the garden and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," that is really an interpolation. He's really saying, "Get thee behind me, a person who opposes or disagrees with me." That word has been misconstrued into the idea that it means a single deity in the last 2 to 3 centuries, when it absolutely does not mean that.
Well, let me elaborate upon this a little bit.
Yes.
In terms of information science, let's use contemporary examples. In the internet, you can develop a pointer that points to another internet site. Well, this is a good analogy for what happened in language, in terms of how the collective unconscious references data. If a pointer can be directed from a term, right or wrong, Satan, to this entity. A pointer can be developed that goes to this new pattern of information, and that is more recent than these older ideas. The language evolves, and so does the pointers. The pointers switch around and start looking in other directions. If I were to here's a good example. In basic remote viewing training, the city of Athens, we would always get for a city a right-angled ideogram in stage one. Stage one is where we draw these little ideographic symbols that we decode. It represents a gestalt of information. But for Athens, you do not get, the remote viewer does not get a right-angled curve at first. They get what it amounts to a hill, because Athens is still referred to in the collective unconscious, the matrix, as the city on a hill. And that hasn't changed. But this pointer to Satan appears to have changed, if what you're saying is correct.
I have done a number of years in research into this, and I'll let you gentlemen go. One last thing I wanted to also say, Major Danes, was remember that angels are, they have blossomed into this idea of these angelic beings, but angels stems from the Greek angelos, which simply means celestial messenger.
I'm well aware of what it means in a number of Elohim and a number of other languages, and what different people and different errors, what meanings they have given to that simple term.
That very epithet of messenger, and then later on the celestial, that could be anybody. It could be the departed father or mother reappearing or coming back. Anybody could be a celestial messenger. And that, there again, that is another slogan that has been greatly interpolated into meaning something really different than the original context. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, sir. Ed, I'm going to try to intersperse some of these facts, as I have so many. Ed said that we could ask for intervention. Now, this would mean the great destruction and recycling of our wonderful planet might not need to happen. How many of us would have to ask for that? And how do we do it?
What I said, Art, was that intervention is coming in the form of just that. We don't have to ask. It's coming. Intervention's on its way.
Gotcha. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hello, this is Lee.
Hi, Lee. Where are you?
In Seattle, Washington.
Seattle. All right. Yell at us a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Can you hear me okay? I've got
sure.
a bit of a cold. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's better.
Hi, Major Dames. Yeah, I guess a couple questions. One is... you mentioned something just before the New Year's about coming across. I don't know if you can talk about this yet or not, but they, you know, of course, they found the guy who was carrying some bomb equipment over from Canada over to, I guess, it was Port Orchard, and or Port Angeles, right around there. And you mentioned that there was something that was going to happen, but I don't know if anything really did yet or not.
There was a target area that terrorists were targeting. In fact, I sent something to Art Bell, and Art, I don't want you to talk about this, please, but there was a target area, a focus for a terrorist operation, and that is what I talked about, and
yeah.
it was to come down in the month of December.
Right, and it doesn't appear that it did.
It did not.
Okay, because you mentioned that it was probably going to be unstoppable.
Would that event, had it not been stopped, have been the event? Is there any way to know that, Ed?
You'd have to... Well, the FBI would know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you're right, caller. He said that. They did catch him, and there's no way to know whether that would have been it or not.
I guess one other question, and this might be a little more philosophical or not. I don't know if it's even something you can even address, but... that would be my. It's been my belief, and I don't know. Just you know, as an uneducated person, I guess compared to some of the other callers you probably get on the phone calls. But I'm wondering if we were planted here as a human race, do we actually evolve from a single cell? I guess I have a issue with
all
that.
All right. Well, that's really a very, very good question, Ed. Have you looked at how we got here? Did we come crawling out of the muck after an appropriate lightning strike with proteins, or
cursorily? Yes, I have, and it looks like both. The answer is both. There was evolution, in the Darwinian sense, roughly, and there was intervention, an injection of new information at one point, at least one point, possibly more, along the way. Sort of like an experimenter would come in and manipulate the experiment here and there. So it looks like both things occurred.
Huh.
And again, we have the control system doing that, a la Arthur C. Stanley Kubrick's 2001, you know, that kind of idea.
Yep. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi, good morning, Major James. Good morning, Art. This is Bill from West Hartford, Connecticut, talking. Major James, I have a comment and two questions, please. I happen to be an atheist, a non-religious person, an atheist on religious matters, and I have two questions for you relating to remote viewing as you remote viewed religious things. For example, I'll say this briefly, my comment. As an atheist, I can't for the life of me believe in things like God, the devil, the Ark of the Covenant, angels. In other words, in my view, if there were a God, a so-called intelligent creator of some kind that created this awesome, awesome cosmos, it would be more vast, God would be more vast compared to us than we are compared to a paramecia, meaning a bacterium. And in other words, if I can say one more comment, then I'll ask my first question. It seems to me that us humans would not be concerned if one or two bacterium went to the right in the test tube, then to the left, and to the right again, any more than the real God, if there is a God, would care if somebody says a bad word or swears or lies or cheats or cheals or murders. It seems like if there were a real God, he or she or it would be interested in the whole cosmos as a whole, and we might be interested, for example, in the whole, all of the bacteria, if it would infect us. You see what I'm trying to say?
I agree with you on all points.
All right. Well, that stops that cold. Somebody just sent me a fax saying, hey, Art, I'm surprised you didn't notice that in his State of the Union address, at one point the president made major statements about the weather and floods, went on for about 5 minutes. I almost expected him to pick up a copy of your book. He talked about floods, global warming, said these things will happen. Yeah, sure, I noticed. Of course I noticed. And it's obvious that... everybody's beginning to notice, including the president of this country. And if you want to know where it's going, and you've been listening closely tonight, it's going to get worse before it gets better. The only question we can't apparently answer is whether it's going to get better. Ed?
No, it's not. The seasons are going to disappear. They're disappearing now, and the storms are going to get bigger. The winds, as I mentioned years ago, the jet stream is going to start dropping down to the deck very close. And a year and a half ago, I told you to watch for the mother of all tornadoes.
Yep.
And around came the F5 that was supposed to be impossible. And it's just a harbinger of things to come. That's why I think that the book that you and Whitley authored is it's very apropos and very on the money, except I don't necessarily agree with the analysis that it's because of the storms are because of global warming per se. I think what you're perceiving or what you're writing about is a result of the sun's behavior more than global warming.
Well, whatever the engine is that's providing the energy that's creating the changes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's methane or.
Yeah,
or
I'm actually not either. Part of it's a natural cycle. Part of it is man's hand.
Well, what SciTech has said, what we have said as a corporation for the past 3 years, is that the sun is the effective force behind these catastrophic events.
Yeah, it's a big engine. Someone asked, would you ask the major, please, if the crazy weather, the weirdness, the sicknesses are God's way of taking back the keys?
That's the intervention I'm talking about,
yeah.
Which appears to be not a natural cycle, but... something that is modulated by an intelligent force. Now, I don't like to say that as a science guy, a science and technology guy. That is not something I like to say. In fact, for business, it's pretty bad. But, you know,
no,
you have to call it like you see it, Art. And that's the one thing about technical remote viewing. You know, when you employ the skill, you got to keep your ego out of the collection process. If it gets in the way, you'll ruin the entire session. And in the end of a 45-minute session, you have some data. You may not like what that data says about your target at all, but if you perform the skill well, it's the truth, you know, and with only a 10 to 15% error rate, and it may not always be the answer that you want.
Right. Well, that's right. You don't always get the answer you want.
Yeah.
All right. Very quickly, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
My name is Gwendolyn, and I'm calling from Ogden, Utah.
All right.
I just want to let you know, Ed, my son just barely purchased your tapes, and we're really excited to get started on them, because I have had some experiences as far as remote viewing in a little different way. It's been more on a spiritual nature, to where it just kind of came to me to, you know, I was just curious to see if you've had anyone that, you know, to where your spirit goes places and people talk to you, you know, and let you know specific information.
That's something else. And don't obfuscate the training methods with that kind of natural, I'll call it talent. It would be good if you trained with your son together, but don't interject any of that into the training process at all, because you can't control it. And remote viewing is a controlled process. It's robotic. It's a skill. And what you're talking about is not a skill. It's an innate ability. It's a natural ability that some people have. And if your son doesn't have that, he gains nothing by you adulterating the training process with that kind of thing.
All right, we've got to leave it right there. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 2000.
It's a rather unusual opportunity. Zytex Major Ed Dames is here tonight. He was in the military remote viewing program. He's here talking to us tonight about what's coming soon. I'll tell you, I'm a real sucker for a sax. We'll be right back. I think Ed may find this interesting. A frequent guest on the program, or at least semi-frequent, has been Charles Osman, who is, without a doubt, on top of the whole nanotechnology movement, big time. And I'm sure you've heard Charles in the past. Well, he has written the following. Greetings, Art. As one who is personally connected to the inner world of advanced nanobiological technologies for development and deployment, including current and planned enhancements to ongoing biological pathogen analysis and neutralization programs in the strategic biological defense arena, Mr. Dames is 100% on the mark. Though I have absolutely no qualifications whatsoever in the realm of technical remote viewing, I feel compelled to convey to you that a summation of the current and emergent circumstances are chillingly correct. I feel great trepidation that we, the human species, are about to be confronted with an evolutionary test threshold unparalleled in scale or complexity by any previously encountered seminal marker point in our collective existence of which we are currently aware. I also pray, and I have a number of associates who are of a very similar mindset. Respectfully, Charles Osman. Sound on the mark to you, Ed?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what he said, but
Maybe
I'll talk to him about that.
Yeah, he's working in, as it said there in the beginning, he has been working for years and years in nanotechnology, specifically nanobiotechnological areas.
Well, we in the intelligence arena had great, nanotechnology held great promise for us. I'll leave that right there.
Okay. All right. All right, here we go. First time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi. I have a question. I was wondering if you have remote viewed God.
Oh.
And my second question is...
Does he like us?
Yeah, I'd like to know that.
No, what was your second question, Chris?
My second question was, this week we had the guy on that had been to Egypt. And, Noon. Dr. Noon?
Yes, yes.
If he had heard that story or that conversation and if he could remote view the date, 5/5/2000.
All right. Let's see. With respect to God, I think that is a project you undertook, wasn't it?
It isn't a project per se. I used to throw it in as a ringer. A lot of my students in the in-class, in the professional development course, they were tested. They didn't get a graduation certificate unless they passed certain tests. And sometimes I would slip them a Mickey and throw them something like that, especially if somebody was a wise aleck and thought they were really good. You know, you'd want to make them make mistakes so they weren't so... you want to test their self-confidence so they would be careful. And I would slip targets like God to them. Of course, they were in remote viewing. The students are not given the target. They're just given a set of numbers, random numbers, connected with a target folder. And there are specific sketches, archetypical sketches, that remote viewers produce in response to a target God. And there are sets of...
What do you typically get at?
You get this, you know, the sign of infinity.
Yes.
In mathematics. You get that. You get that in the stage 3 diagram almost always.
Wow.
That idea that pops out spontaneously.
Infinity.
Yeah. You get that. And then the data is connected with not so much, it's relatively amorphous, but the aesthetic impact on the part of the student, the way they feel about the target, is almost unequivocally across the board connection with love, warmth, deep emotional feelings. Other than that, not a lot of detail. Nor would one expect that.
Nor would one expect it, but infinity is a concept that would seem to work.
Yeah, your hand actually produces that on a paper in stage 3, which is our archetypical sketch that we use as a stepping stone to higher, to more detailed data, more detailed connection with the target. Your hand spontaneously produces that connection with this concept.
All right. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's missing Learjet Tim from the land of the snow-covered astronauts.
Yeah, right.
That was from last night.
Yes.
The they're heading out tomorrow morning. We're down in the, it was wing night here on base tonight. We're out, and they're out for a meal. And then the CBC news crew that was here to film, do some filming and a bit of a documentary, I was talking to Rick Hunter. And I mentioned your name, Art. I said, it's about time, and we got some Canadian press on the Art Bell Show. And he said he'd heard it. He said, hey, that's that the UFO guy, the alien guy. And I said, well, that and every other topic. But I said, yeah, it's about time that you did a documentary piece on him. But reason why I'm calling, that one fax that came in earlier, the guy was saying about Y2K and
yes.
the comments.
Yes.
That was actually my question way back earlier last year when I asked Ed. We're talking about everything from Nostradamus to the solar event that he saw coming.
Right.
CME.
Yes.
And basically Ed said that it was Y2K wasn't going to be an event because there's a preemptor that would that was going to happen. I think it was dealing with the sun, which I think is coming now. I think our time frame is a little bit out, and we're
not
we're
very far. If you look at what's going on with the sun right now, it'll give you the sweats.
Big time.
Yeah.
I wonder though. Did you mention Art? Did you mention to Ed about this butt-kicking photograph you've got of an alien that looks like in a military police lockup?
I know. All right. Let's mention that right now, Ed. I don't know if you have access to the web while you're on with me. I have no idea. Do you?
Yes, I do.
Can you maybe between now and the break or whatever make it to my website and then go just go to my links page, hit the first link, and there's going to be a photograph of an alien that is said to have been taken on board a naval vessel. That's all we know about the photograph right now. We got it just before airtime. It could be pure hogwash. It could be the real thing. It looks pretty interesting. It would be very hard for you to get a, or would it, to get a fairly quick read on it?
Oh, it wouldn't. I'm there now, so it's coming up. So no, it wouldn't. It wouldn't take too long to find out some basics about it.
We don't come across photographs, even if it is a total somehow fraud or something. We don't come across photographs this graphic very frequently, so I sort of agree with the caller. I'd love to have you take a look at that at any rate at your leisure. And right now, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Hello?
Hello.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. I didn't know when I was going to be on.
Well, now is the time.
Okay.
Where are you?
This is Steve calling from Clearwater, Florida.
Okay, Steve.
And my question is for Ed Dames, when you remote view the things that are happening out here. Why do they talk so much about greenhouse? Because, I mean, I'm here in Florida, and I'm freezing. And what are they talking about it getting warmer?
All right. He's another one who does not exactly understand how the greenhouse effect, so-called, or the warming of the atmosphere, however you want to think about it, would eventually produce the opposite effect, cold. Now, I could probably answer that without having to remote view.
I think you should.
Ed has one view of it. I have another. It is that our world has been through many cycles. We know that. This is the subject of my book with Whitley, The Coming Global Superstorm, that you can get on Amazon.com, plug, plug, plug. But basically, folks, whether you're talking about the atmosphere or ocean currents, or the sun itself as a catalyst, as Ed thinks, when you begin to add energy and you begin to trap heat and you begin to add cold water and you have lots of hot and lots of cold, you've got lots of energy. And when you have lots of energy, no matter the source, you're going to have really, really big storms. And I hope that answers it for you in some way. We've had previous ice ages that have been initiated with this process. We know that. And so it can happen again. That would be my answer, kind of collecting Eds along the way. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Hi, Art. Neil, Topaz Ranch, Nevada.
Yes, sir.
Listening on KOH 780 in Reno.
Of course.
Two quick ones. Does Ed know of or has he ever encountered any kind of device, procedure, vitamin pill, prayer that us laymen could use to protect ourselves or jam remote viewers? And the second question is, does Ed, has he ever encountered any unethical gatekeeper, the equivalent of the good gatekeeper that he was talking about earlier, that might let unethical people do things that...
Oh, it's a good question. Your first question first, though, Ed.
Okay, the first question we've addressed before. There is no way to stop a remote viewer from downloading information, period. There's no way to do that. The reason is because as a remote viewer, you're not going anywhere. You're turning your attention, your unconscious attention, to the way something exists as a pattern of information. So you're not interacting with the target at all directly. Although, in terms of quantum mechanics, the observer is part of the observed, you know, we know that. So that's not entirely true. But for the most part, there's no direct energetic connection to the target, whether it's a person or an event, okay? So there's no way to stop that because there's no real way to do it. With some qualifications, they're esoteric, and I won't get into that right now. Question two, I don't know if there's an equivalent to the ethical gatekeeper. I wondered about that just the other day. Just the other day, that was on my mind. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Art.
Right, thank you. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Yeah,
good morning.
This is Zach calling from Ellensburg.
Ellensburg, Washington.
How you doing tonight, Ed?
Good, thank you.
It's the first time I ever called, and I'm really interested in remote viewing. I had a few views on a few of my experiences on outer body experiences, and every time I've ever went out of my body, I went into a realm that was like a sphere.
Like what?
A sphere.
A sphere.
Yeah, I went within it.
Yes.
And I entered into like three different pyramids within itself, and it kind of spoke to me. And
okay, well, people have many, many, many different types of out-of-body experiences, but that's a good question by itself, Ed. These out-of-body experiences, is this something that you've looked into? Does it have a relationship to the realm in which one remote views?
No. Remote viewing is strictly relegated to the area of the mind, the unconscious part of mind. Out-of-body experiences are something else. In the esoteric, in the occult arenas, there are things that are called the esoteric bodies, the etheric bodies, that kind of parts of our existence.
Right.
And that's the arena in which out of body experiences fall, out of the bailiwick of remote viewing.
So they're completely
strictly mind.
Completely different arena.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right.
Now that's not to say that in the military we didn't try to experiment with that kind of thing. And employ it. We wanted to, but we could not induce it. It was spontaneous and not on demand, and, you know, that doesn't... We need it.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Good morning, Art, Ed.
Good morning.
A couple programs ago with Ed, you had Art... you got a fax from Holly Dea, Stan's wife?
Yes.
And it was quoting scientists at the Rutherford Appleton Lab in the United Kingdom, and it basically said that they have found out that the interplanetary field has increased 40% since 1964 and has doubled since 1900, and they attribute this to a more energetic sun, proving that it's putting out way more energy in recent years.
Yes.
And energy output directly affects the weather on the Earth. That's the only time I've ever heard that information. I mean, is this valid, or why isn't the news media reporting this, and why are we being fed this human-caused greenhouse global warming, news? If this is true, if this is true that we can measure this output over this period of time,
then why aren't we being told about it?
Why aren't we being told about this?
Well, the answer is that geophysicists and meteorologists have not constructed a model for how the linkage between the sun's behavior and weather. That model is not extant. And so if science...
In other words, if they don't know, they obviously can't tell us.
That's right. Same thing with UFOs. UFOs may be real, But a government is not going to talk about it because a government
can't
the last
answer.
Thing in the world a responsible government is going to tell its citizens is we don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, that's absolutely true. It's too bad, but it's absolutely true. Listen, Ed, we're coming toward the end of this hour. Are you good to go for the last?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I want to tell
everyone. Hook.
I want to do this again. The full set of technical remote viewing tapes is available now at $70 off. You can get the first one if you just want to know what's going on for like $49.95 or something or another. The rest of them, the six full tapes that contain 10 hours of instruction in technical remote viewing are how much, Ed?
$249.95.
Now, this is a course that when taught in person used to cost, I don't know, what was the years ago when we began? It was
$4,500.
$4,500?
Yes.
Typically, yeah, I've heard even higher prices.
No, $4,500 was the top of the line course, and we compacted that into these tapes.
And you know, Ed, as you know, I have a full set of the tapes. I watched the first one; it was incredible. But something still holds me from watching the rest of them, and I don't know what it is, Ed. All this time, I've put my hand on that set of tapes. I don't know how many times, and it's like I pull away.
Well, how does Ramona and/or your son feel about that?
I've not tempted them with it, so I don't know.
I was just curious.
I've been really tempted, but something has held me back. And for sure, there are some people, I think, who don't want to know the answer to some questions. They have their head in the sand and are happy with it there. I might be slightly in that category in some areas. It's not for everybody, is it?
No, it's not. And I agree with you. There are instances in my life where I did not want to know answers because either it destroyed your idea of somebody as a role model, or in the case of, for instance, the evacuation of Saigon, the plans to evacuate, I inadvertently saw the evacuation plans, and it was something I wish I had never seen because it meant the sacrifice of almost a half a division of people.
That's right.
And I didn't want to see that as a young man.
So once you have learned the discipline, Ed, I mean, there are things that you said you would never do with remote viewing that you've done. You said you would never remote view your own death. You did that. Is that generally, is that true of most people? In other words, once you have the ability, you lose the resistance to go where you said you wouldn't go?
No, I don't think that your basic character or ethics changes. Your morality doesn't change.
Maybe your curiosity increases. All right. Well, as always, Ed, nothing but fascinating. Another great show. Thank you.
It was
you.
A political thing anyway. So.
So anyway, you know, until the next time, whenever that is, from wherever that is, as always, my friend, thank you for being here.
I'll see you around, Art. It's been a pleasure.
Take care. That's Major Ed Dames, folks. I'm Art Bell, and from the high desert, where it's clear and cold and the air is fresh, good night.